All right, stick around to the very end of the podcast because you got an extra 30 minutes of great content. I'm talking great, the best content ever, as we're going to put the interview with Chris Hardwick from this morning on the end of the podcast. Very cool conversation about the Talking Dead, Walking Dead, comedy, etc. So that'll be on right after the closing jingle. You'll have 30-minute conversation with Chris Hardwick.
And now... The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Yeah. So the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So check it out. Also, we do want to tell you to please buckle up. If you're listening to the podcast and you're maybe about to operate a motor vehicle or you're in a motor vehicle or you're whatever you're doing, buckle up. There's no good excuse for not doing it. The cops are out there writing tickets. People are getting in car crashes and all that kind of stuff. Why would you take the risk? Click it or ticket. Get it done, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Your mic is not on, Patrick. There you go. Sorry about that.
I was like, I don't think my mic's on.
Okay.
Yeah. You sing a lot. So, hey,
are you saying you muted it on purpose?
Maybe.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick is going to be on the podcast the end of this. Well, I guess he's part of our podcast. We had a chance to talk with him this week, and he was really great. He came in the studio. You guys all geeked out over the geek.
Well, he is like the king of the geeks.
And so
we all have different reasons for being. Well, Bubba and Carson. More for the Walking Dead stuff, but I'm more of a fan of his stand-up and the Nerdist and all that stuff. And I
like the Nerdist stuff too, though.
I told Vivica the night before that I was so nervous to meet him because I didn't want him to, you know, because comedians are sometimes not.
Well,
nice
that's the thing. You never want to meet your heroes because when you do, sometimes they're oftentimes they're not. What you want them to be, and because in your head you go, oh, this is going to be one of the coolest people ever, and then you meet them and it's like, meh.
I've been such a fan of his stand-up, and I mean, I watched Singled Out when I was a kid
on MTV.
On MTV when he was probably only like 20 when he did it, but still, it was just, he was so over-the-top nice. Like, just exactly, if you told me what's the best possible outcome to this, that's how nice he was when he came in here. It was just so great.
Yeah, good. Got a little man crush.
I do, a little bit.
That was cool, too, because we got to find out about the Walking Dead stuff. You know, Fear the Walking Dead is coming back on Sunday, and we talked about Dwight. We talked about all that kind of stuff. So Dwight from The Walking Dead is going to – Carson, do you have a Game of Thrones cup?
No, it's Iron Maiden.
Oh, what?
Iron Maiden.
I thought
it's
it was
an Iron Maiden cup.
It looks like a White Walker from here.
Well,
in the
Eddie kind of does look like a White Walker.
Yeah, hold on. Let's. Shall we show this?
Yeah, go ahead.
There we go. To anybody who may be watching, I don't want to put this over all the electronics. He kind of does look like a White Walker.
Yeah, he does.
Especially on the back.
Yeah, they might have ripped him off.
Huh. Who knew?
Yeah.
Now that you mention it, the White Walkers, they have a whole...
The Night King could be Eddie in a different universe.
Wow.
I also love the fact that Carson comes in dressed up like she's about to be knighted.
I'm going beyond the wall
on,
to fight the Night King.
She's got a cloak on made out of a blanket because it's cold.
I'm cozy.
Do we really keep it that cold in here?
No, we don't.
Like, it's chilly. I just read a thing the other day saying that it's worse. Like, ladies are more, what's the word? More productive. If it's warmer.
Correct.
And guys are more productive if it's colder. Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, because we're hot and they're cold all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, no, but they're saying like actual work production is a major factor.
So I tape my podcast for now in Carson's studio, and it's hard to sit in there for an hour and a half.
Why?
Because it's hot. Because we have the temperature adjusted in her studio to keep it warmer than it is in here.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a heater, but
I don't
turn it
on, but
it's miserable. I have headphones on and my hair, my, you know, hairline starts sweating right there, right under the headphones.
Yeah.
I don't mean to betray my sisters, but I will say that sometimes if I have the heater on, like when it's winter, and I crank it up all nice and toasty, there is a good chance I could fall asleep. So it might actually be better for my productivity to be a smidge chillier. Even if I'm wrapped up in a blanket, because I have a tendency to go, oh, this is so nice and cozy, and realize my eyelids are drooping.
Are you a blanket person, like in the middle of summer? Like Stacy,
yes.
My wife carries blankets and jackets with her everywhere. I mean, it could be 100 degrees outside, and she's going to have a blanket or a jacket in her hands. And you're like, what are you doing? She's like, as soon as I walk into the restaurant, the movies, whatever it is that we're going to, she's like, it's freezing cold. It's horrible. I can't handle it. And I'm like, it feels good.
It's true. Even at my house, I keep the air conditioner on, and I will cozy up under a blanket to watch TV. You know, at like 6 o'clock at night.
Okay, well, you're part of the problem then. If you're running your air conditioner and getting under a blanket, you should raise the temperature and not use the blanket.
No, because I like to be cozy.
Oh, wow.
Isn't there something better to be? I find it more comfortable to be cold and warm up than to be comfortable.
Oh, is there anything worse in the summer when you're hot and you go to get in bed? Because also, I like blankets. I can't sleep without blankets on. And so, if it's hot.
I can't sleep if it's hot, man.
I can only sleep with a sheet on. I can't sleep with an actual blanket.
That's so weird.
You know they have those blankets with their weighted blankets, you know? My wife has one of those. I'm like, get that away from me. Like, I feel like somebody is sitting on me when I have blankets. Even our comforter, she'll put it on. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, if I just have it, I can't sleep with just a sheet or with, like, no sheet or bedding or anything. I feel naked even though I'm in jammies.
And Vivica's brother and sister-in-law are always trying to say we should go. Well, let's go camping.
I love me some camping.
No. Fat person veto. No way. I do not want to A, sleep on the floor, on the ground. B, it's hot. My idea of camping is staying at like a cheap motel, like a Motel 6 or some roadway inn or wherever you've heard
from. Because that's the way Stacy was. She's like, camping is a cheap hotel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't say motel. She said hotel, which there's a big difference. A cheap hotel means it's going to be somewhere expensive.
If the doors open to the outside, that's camping.
This is a one-star hotel, and it has terrible ratings on Google. Yep, camping. Set up a tent. Let's do this.
I'm going to a music festival in October, and you can camp for 3 days. And I was telling somebody about it. I forget who it was the other day. And they were like, oh, well, it's October. It won't be too bad to camp. And I was like, wait, we've met. No. I said, no,
camping,
I got a hotel.
Yeah.
It's 40 minutes from my house, and I got a hotel.
Yeah, no.
Just in case.
I
don't camp.
You don't camp, do you?
Me? No.
He had an RV, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Class A RV.
Ooh, RV. Nice. All right. I would do that.
Yeah, we had a big, gigantic.
Even that, that's my idea of roughing it, like staying in the RV.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone camping, and we'll go to a lot of the off-road parks and everything in the Jeep, and I'll pull up. I won't even put my tent up. Because I'm like, what am I doing? I'll just lay down in my driver's seat. I'll clear the spot behind so I can put it as low, you know, fold the seat back as far as I can. I'll just sleep in there instead of having to go through the trouble of putting up a tent.
Yeah, that still sounds better to me. Yeah.
And besides, I'm kind of protected from the elements in there, too.
And I don't mean this in any sort of weird way, but between, like, the three of you, the idea of actually getting a tent, I would assume, like, just even from a height perspective, for you guys to fit in them, and then having to get air mattresses and stuff,
well,
it just feels like
I don't have that
like
problem.
You're not a. It's just size wise. I just don't think it works.
Yeah,
I love the RV. I loved RV camping. The issue I had when ours was an old RV and a used one, and so there every time we took it out, something went wrong. Something would break on it, so you got to set up all your get your campsite, you got to level it out, the setup is, it's not hard, it's just time consuming, and then you're in there and you're living in it, and then when you're ready to go in 2 days or a day or whatever, then you got to clean out the tanks and, you know.
The black water.
I mean, there's a lot to it, and you... It's just that.
Well, that's why I like, again, going back to the Jeep thing, because it's comfortable enough to where I have no setup, none whatsoever, and I just lay down, and I'm on basically a mattress in the Jeep. I'm good to go, and it's comfortable. I don't have to sleep on the ground.
Hey, Carson, what was your favorite thing about Chris Hardwick?
Oh, my gosh, what was my favorite? You know what? He was so, I felt like he was just one of us, that we were just having this cool conversation with somebody that we, like, if he was, if he lived here, I feel like we could all have
We would hang?
Yeah.
Like, I often?
Just, yeah, because at first I was like, oh, my gosh, this is Chris Hardwick. And it was so quickly to settle into, hey, he's a normal person. With him, I just didn't feel on edge. I felt he was just so engaged. I love how complimentary he was about the studio and talking and how he'd talked to you guys in the past. I just thought he was so very
I thought it was cool he remembered us from all the times we've had him on the show. Because a lot of times you'll have a guest on and they're just a phone call guest and you don't feel like you're, you know, connected as well. And he seemed very cool with, you know, he walked in. He's like, man, I've talked to you so many times. It's cool to actually be here. I'm like,
I don't
wow.
think he remembered.
Really?
You're so cynical.
I didn't remember. I want to believe. When he said that, I was like,
well, then who told
you've
him?
You've been on the show before?
The person that was with him did not tell him. Now, I know that for a fact.
His publicist might have, though.
The publicist,
know.
Yeah.
Even
maybe.
If he does, it's still a nice thing.
Doesn't matter. It's the fact that he tried to make that connection.
It's like Garth Brooks remembering your name. If Garth Brooks remembers your name, which, by the way, he will because he's got photographic memory. If Garth remembers your name, you're like, oh, my gosh, that is a cool. He remembered me from 5 years ago or
that's
whatever.
That's Garth because he has super memory. I posted a picture on the Instagram and Twitter at Radio Patrick just earlier today of me and Carrie Underwood from like 2012. And I told that story on my last podcast that I walked up and she said, hey, Patrick, how are you? And I know with no doubt in my mind, with 100% certainty, I know that Carrie Underwood does not know who I am or even my name.
Does
not
she
at
have
all.
Somebody who's a whisperer?
I am every bit as impressed, though, that somebody on her staff felt it was important enough to tell her my name so she could pretend to know it. To me, that's as impressive
that's
as
just,
if she'd known it.
That's just
known it
as
herself.
Impressive is having somebody who's available to you to be
I like this game.
That person for you.
Right, so here we go. Who do you think would definitely know, for real, know Patrick's name?
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton.
Country singers?
Yeah,
well,
we're looking
names. I don't know. I would have said Blake 5 years ago. Blake, after being on The Voice for 8 years and living in L.A. and doing his voice thing and never being around, dude, I don't know if he'd even recognize
Blake
me.
Would walk up and lick your face. Yeah. He'd be like, hey, okay, so bud, what you doing, Patrick?
Blake would. How about Maren Morris?
No.
I'm not sure she could pick me out of a crowd.
Whatever.
No, I'm serious.
Dude.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Garth would, because he's Garth.
Maybe.
You
I've talked
too,
to Garth a lot
but
at
Patrick's
parties.
Hair and beard has evolved in just the last few months.
That's
and
true,
that could be a detriment.
But it's also a thing that's recognizable that people can
but
spot
Garth
in the
hasn't
crowd.
Seen you
right.
since
yeah,
this.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Thomas Rhett.
It's bad. No, no way.
Chris.
Thomas would know that he knows us. He wouldn't know from
he
where.
No.
Chris Jansen.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Chris Jansen. Would know me if he walked into a room and saw me. He would
Luke
know
Combs.
Me. Yes.
Kane Brown.
Yes.
Luke Bryan.
Mm.
Really?
You know what? I introduced myself to Luke one time at a party not too long ago, and he actually kind of played it off like, man, you don't have to keep introducing yourself. I know who you are. But he didn't know who I was.
Well, I ran into
Luke. You know what I mean?
Don't
like,
know
he's
that.
Trying to play that.
You don't
he
know
was
that.
Trying to do the whole, man, you don't.
I was
going to
say,
you
could say that, but I ran into Luke Bryan one night getting some wings with the family. And, you know, we just kind of happened to be walking near each other at the same time. He's like, you going to say hi or what? And I'm like, well, hey, man. I said, you're with your
Jason
family.
Jason Aldean did that to me once. Now, Jason would recognize me. And one time I didn't say hi to him because I thought he doesn't know who I am and I'm just going to be that guy. And he kind of started to walk past me and he goes, you're not going to tell me hi? And I was like, oh, man, I didn't think you'd recognize
well,
that
that's
kind of thing.
I didn't do that. I was like, you're with your family, dude. I'm not going to bug you when you're with your family. And he's like, nah, man. So he's like, you're with yours? I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, let's go say hi.
Dean wants to keep playing the game. I can
see it.
The girls
thought it was fun.
Kelly Pickler.
Yes.
I don't know.
Really?
Probably.
I think Kelly has a crush on you.
Me?
No.
All right. Go with it.
Lauren Alaina.
Yes, 100%.
Y'all help me out with some names here.
Leroy Jenkins.
People I know that know me, Dustin Lynch, you know.
John Rich.
Mitchell Tenpenny.
No, I don't know that he would. If I wasn't with you guys, if I was just like at a bar, I'm not sure he would recognize
Justin
me.
Moore.
No, I don't know.
What? Yes, he would.
You think?
Yeah. Oh.
Dan and Shay. Both of them or either of them?
Nah, I think they might know that they know me, but they wouldn't know my name or
why.
Wow,
really?
Yeah. Rodney Atkins?
No, no way.
Really?
I don't spend enough time with Rodney Atkins. Chris Young sees me out at the bar, actually, and he knows who I am.
Brett Eldridge.
Probably knows me as... No, no way.
Really?
But Chris probably knows me as much as the guy at the bar than as you know, the guy from this show.
Brett, I it was kind of the same thing that happened with Luke. I was working out one day. Yeah, that's right. I did it one day. And I was working out, and Brett walked in with some dude, and they were, you know, I guess like one of his publicist people or whatever, and he started working out, and finally goes, dude. I'm like, yeah. He goes, you going to say hey? I was like, you're working out. Again, I had to do the same thing. I'm like, I'm letting you live your life.
Speaking of people who work out with Bubba, Kip Moore would recognize me if he walked in.
Kip Moore said hi to me on the way into the gym, but I think he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
He had no idea who I was. I just finished. I was a sweaty mess, and I'm gross. And I walk out. I'm like, oh, no, it's Kip Moore. And he was like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I can't even speak. I'm so out of breath. But hey.
I will tell you this, and Kip, I will tell it to your face. You're gross. Kip Moore, if he's sweaty and you walk into the gym, he'll just run up and go, hey, and he hugs you. And he's always got
sweaty
and he's got the sleeveless shirts on. So he's got the arm sweat and everything. I'm like, dude, you just sweated all over
I'm
me.
I'm so in for that. Now suddenly I am enticed to go to the
Carson
gym.
Carson made it nasty.
Oh, please. That was PG at best.
You're gross. Eric Church.
No.
What about Chris Stapleton?
God, I want to say yes, but I don't think so.
Dude, he's your voicemail.
Yeah, but I don't.
Leave a message for Patrick.
He knows you.
Maybe.
He knows you every time I text your for him to call in and tell you happy birthday when it's not
when
your
it's
birthday.
It's not my birthday. God, that's so embarrassing.
Did I say Eric Church?
Yeah. You did.
What about Lee Bryce? Obviously would know you.
Yeah, Lee would. You know.
Jared.
There was a time where Taylor Swift knew all of us. Now I don't know that Taylor Swift would recognize any of us. I feel like she really
There was
just
a time
got...
she baked cookies for
Taylor
us.
Taylor Swift used to show up. Carson, man, that was so cool. Taylor Swift used to show up with cookies.
And be like,
that
hey,
she
guys.
Baked the night before.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of you.
Yeah.
That is so nice.
Bought
be
you
careful. You
got to
pull some cat hairs out every now and then.
Oh, man.
That's great. Brett Young. Would Brett Young know you?
Mm-hmm.
No. Florida Georgia Line dudes. Either one of them.
Nope.
What?
Yeah.
See, I thought you were in the middle of all that world. Like,
I am,
you go
but
to
I don't
events.
Insert myself. I mean, you know me well enough. I don't try to insert myself into these. I don't act like people know who I am. Some people are really outgoing, like Dustin Lynch and Jason Aldean and those guys. They want to, you know, they want to make sure they know you, so they make a point to get to know everybody.
Cody Johnson?
Oh, yeah, Cody Johnson, I think, maybe. Maybe.
There are also some.
You went from positive. Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
There are also some people that we see at a number of these events who try too hard to get themselves in front of those folks.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you don't
want to be Captain Try Hard.
No.
Kelsey Ballerini.
I would have said yes. I would think Kelsey knows me. She's been in this studio 15 times. But when we were at that Keith Urban thing where he did the... At the exit end, mm-hmm. Keith Urban played a show for like 200 people. And she came out and opened. And I waved at her and said hi. And she just kind of looked past me like I wasn't even there. And
was
I'm
she
like,
on stage at that time?
No, but she was walking up to the stage. But
well,
I thought
she was in
but
stage
I mean, she was
mode.
Maybe, but I mean, like, she looked right past me like I wasn't there. And
right,
I thought,
because she was looking at the other 199 people that were there. So
when you try your best and you don't succeed.
Old Dominion, those dudes recognize you?
Mm-mm. Honestly, I don't know.
Keith
which
Urban?
One's which.
Would Keith Urban recognize you?
Carson, would Keith Urban know who I was?
No, I'll tell you though, but Keith has a very, very good person that works with him who is very good about
incredibly
saying to him,
good.
Here is everybody's name. Because the last time I saw him, he came over to say hello. And I'm like, I know he doesn't know it. And he's like, hey, in his Australian accent, hi, Carson, nice to see you. And then as I'm leaving, he's like, thanks for coming, Carson. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
No,
same thing.
No.
I went to an interview Carson did with. She went to a studio, to a different studio, to interview Keith Urban. And when I walked in, he goes, "Hey, Carson. Hey, Patrick." And I was like, "Yeah, they told you before we got here."
That's pretty good, though.
It's good. He's
again.
He's one of the best. He's one of the best at. I don't even want to say pretending, but he knows. He knows you. He doesn't remember.
Right. How?
How? You know, I mean, Keith Urban's met literally tens of thousands of people. He's so good at making you feel like.
Tens of thousands? I would think he's probably
met a million. Just in our.
He's seen a million faces and he's rocked them all.
And he's rocked them all.
Thank you.
I mean, just in our business, people. How many people have interviewed Keith Urban?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thousands. So, but he's on that Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift level of being able to make you feel like he really cares only about you. Really, what do you think? You know,
Johnny Joey's on Fox.
Hey, hello, Johnny Joey. Hey, Johnny Joey.
Now he would know you.
Yeah, no, not if I wasn't with you guys, he would never recognize me.
Really?
No chance.
Johnny Joey Jones. That's a dude, man.
Triple J. Yeah.
He's a
dude.
I'll
never forget the first time we met him when he came in here and made jokes about how he was a bomb tech, but he was a bad one.
He said, I used to be the bomb, and then I got blown up by one.
He's just, you know, for a dude to have that sense of humor about not having legs, that's just cool. Oh, he's the outnumbered guy today. That's cool. I want to.
What is the outnumbered guy?
It's this show where there's one guy and four ladies, but the guy is like the, you know.
He's outnumbered.
He's outnumbered.
Okay.
So it's not just like a short segment. He's going to be on the whole show. That's cool.
Good for him.
I like to read his Twitter. He kind of goes all.
I love Johnny.
He's good.
We pretty much agree on about 90% of everything.
Yeah. All right, so I think we should get into the Chris Hardwick stuff. I know people have been really wanting to
I feel bad for the people who are only, you know, I will say it, as great as it is to watch the Facebook feed, because there's a lot of people who that's the only way they catch the podcast is through the Facebook feed. If you actually get the audio version of it, you get extra stuff.
It's way better. It really is.
You really do. You get more. Sure, you don't get to see our beautiful faces. That's sarcasm, by the way. But you do get to get all the other things that are not included on the Facebook feed. So, again, if you're on Facebook and you want to listen to it, we're going to tweet out the links for the podcast. We will go ahead and share that link also in the comments of this video for those people there. That way you can watch or listen to it. Because the Chris Hardwick interview, it's like 30 minutes of pure fun. I mean, it's absolutely, there's never a lull.
So
it's
enjoyable.
It's very entertaining. It's really, really good.
Remember, if you're using really anything, but for the more importantly, if you're using Apple or iTunes to listen to this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating, subscribe and give it a 5-star rating because those really help.
And share it with your friends. If you like it, share it because it's, you know, that's how we grow it.
Hey, this was kind of fun.
All right. So the podcast, again, stick around for the Hardwick interview on the audio-only version. So the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of them, all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Big D, say the phrase.
O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Okay.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
It's okay.
Hey, Chris Hardwick's in the studio with us wearing his, he's already nerding out on you, Bubba. He's already got his droid hat on.
Oh, you know what? I got this at the new Star Wars land at Disneyland.
Oh, you got to go already?
I did.
Oh.
I did, but
that's what happens when you're the nerd king. They let you do stuff like that.
No, yeah, it was, I went, my buddy Will Wheaton and I went, because we've been going to Disneyland for like almost 30 years together, and we got to go, and it was amazing.
What is it? I heard Bubba and Carson talking about it the other day.
It's the first like expansion at Disneyland in forever, and they actually expanded the park, and it's a whole separate.
Okay, so Chris, I have to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Star Tours has been the highlight of Disney for me forever.
Still there,
but how does the new stuff compare to Star Tours?
Well, Star Tours is one ride, and this is an entire land. So they said I'm not allowed to talk about it publicly until after May 31st, but I'll tell you this, it's completely immersive. It's like you're like on an outpost and there's two rides. One of them, the second one doesn't open until September. And then it's just like you're in a Star Wars tale, basically. It's completely immersive. You can't see anything else outside.
Do they have characters that you interact with?
And you don't have to confirm or deny this, but a friend of mine got to go do a preview, and she got to fly the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny that.
But it looked pretty dope. I'll show you her pictures. She's like all famous or something.
It's pretty spectacular. The whole thing is pretty amazing. But what I can say is that for probably like a year, Disneyland is going to be just bottlenecked with people. I mean, it's already crowded.
Okay, so Avatar, the Avatar ride, the flight thing.
That's at Disney World.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, have you done that?
No, because we went, I did the one where you kind of float through the river and you see the Navi.
Yeah, no, I'm talking
end.
About the flying
we
thing.
We didn't do the flying one because I wish I had done it, though. I get a little motiony on rides that are,
well,
like
everybody
the
who's done
division.
That has cried. They come out going, this is the greatest thing I've ever done.
I knew it. I should have done it. I should have done it. Damn it, now I got to go back to Florida. Come on. Put one of those in Anaheim, California.
They don't have the real estate. That's the problem.
No, they don't. They don't. It's the because we were just, my wife and I were just in Europe, and we stopped at Disneyland Paris. And Disneyland Paris is like four times the size of Disneyland in California, but like a quarter of the people are there. And it's like there's barely anyone there.
Oh, because we're going to be in Paris this summer. Maybe
are
we
you?
Maybe we should do it.
Dude, you got to go to Disneyland Paris.
Seriously. I was like, because my daughter brought it up.
I would never think to go to Disneyland Europe.
But, it's great. And, a lot of, because my wife and I were in Italy for a couple of weeks, and then we were going to go to London, and I go, well, let's just stop in Paris and go to Disneyland. She was like, oh, that's a great idea. And so when we would tell people, we're like, oh, what are you going to see in Paris? We're like, Disneyland?
that's how I felt.
I'm like, you're only there for
God, this is the saddest, most American thing I've ever heard.
That's like going to Paris and eating at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of. Well, it's pretty French. I mean, it's like Disneyland Paris is still, it's still pretty French. I mean, it's like they've infused... Does it help that they have a Ratatouille ride? Maybe.
Yeah. Perhaps. No? Perhaps.
Is Magic Mountain called Le Magic Mountain?
No. Yes. They have Space Mountain, and it's Jules Verne themed and then Star Wars themed on top of that.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, but they have a lot more roller coasters there. Like, a lot of their rides are roller coasters.
So like it's like Six Flags and...
Well, it's
Disney.
Not. I mean, it, sort of. It's like a mashup. So their Space Mountain is more like a roller coaster. Their Indiana Jones ride is more like a roller coaster. Like they just have a lot of roller coasters there.
Chris, you may have picked up on it, but big fans of yours. Carson had to leave, go home and do her makeup again.
Yeah, they forgot to tell me you were coming, and I had to go to Walgreens and buy a curling iron.
Oh, come on.
She bought makeup and a curling iron.
Everyone looks amazing. I know I've called into the show before, but I have to say, your studio is...
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
The best.
Yeah, it is. It is the best.
It really is the best. The vibe in here, this should be televised.
Now we don't like TV. It gets goofy.
Plus TV adds weight to you. That's the last thing we need is to have weight added. honestly, thank you for the compliment on the studio.
Of course.
The next level is when we finally outgrow this place, we're putting it on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's very clubhouse vibe anyway.
It is.
And so we figured we'll just go full treehouse.
Can I get into the upside down from the
you can actually. Yeah. It's weird because the sewage runs above your head.
Oh, it sure does.
That pipe right there is a sewer pipe.
Oh, yeah. Look at all that poop. Oh, you guys.
Man, I had this fear that one day it's going to leak because it's right behind me.
Right there.
Yeah.
But, they tell me that pipe's good for 50 years and it's only 8 years old. So we're
probably
okay.
Things I didn't think about until just now.
Yeah. You got 42 good poop-free years.
So
it rains.
Where are we on Walking Dead, Talking Dead? Carson, you're probably our go-to expert.
Fear is back this weekend.
Fear's back Sunday. Mm-hmm. Fear's back Sunday. And then Talking Dead is on after. I think they've put another show in between us.
Why?
And, it's something they do.
They try to make us watch something else.
Oh.
Chris can't say this, but...
What? No, everything they do is great.
It's great.
I love being separated by the show we're talking about by an hour. It makes a lot of sense.
Can I ask a major question about Fear? Because Fear was originally, it was launched as, okay, we're going to go back 8 years and look at how the whole thing happened.
Right.
And how the zombie apocalypse began, which we did. And then, three seasons in, they fast forward... And all of a sudden, we're closer in time, but not exactly there. And all of a sudden, Morgan from The Walking Dead shows up. And then now, starting this season, what's his name? With the iron face. Dwight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dwight's going to be...
Iron face. It sounds like what a grandparent would say about an Avengers movie. You're going to see that iron face movie? It's Iron Man.
Well, that he had an iron pressed to his face.
Whatever. Iron face.
Iron face.
Anyway, he's got an iron body.
Dwight's supposed to be back, and he left to go look for Shelly, or is that his wife's name whatever?
Yeah. But here's the thing. So initially, I think the plan was, like, well, we're not going to connect these two shows. And then I think they were like, well, why wouldn't we? And so after a few seasons, then they decided that the shows, like, it should all be part of, I mean, because it was all part of the same universe.
Yeah, but what are the odds that Dwight travels 900 miles across the barren wasteland of the zombie apocalypse and finds Morgan?
Okay, well, what are the odds that Scooby-Doo and the gang would run into Jerry Reed and the Harlem Globetrotters?
Pretty good. And Batman and Robin.
So this thing's happened in television land, you know?
That was Jerry Reed. I didn't know who that was.
That was Jerry Reed popped up on the... Jerry Reed was like, who, by the way, is like one of the best guitar players in the history of guitar.
Are we talking about Jerry Reed like...
Yeah, like the Smokey the Bandit Jerry.
Yeah.
I didn't know he made an appearance on Scooby-Doo.
He made an appearance on Scooby-Doo. He was in the 70s, you know, in the 70s, 60s and 70s, super famous, especially after Smokey and the Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
And he popped up on a... They're just like in the middle of a swamp, and they're all like, Jerry Reed! What's up, kids?
You know, like, you know, like, Moses!
Yeah, yeah. They're just out in the middle. You know, so they... It was a common Scooby-Doo
So are we basically now, are Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead now in the same month?
No, I think they're weirdly, I think they're still separated because then last season, Walking Dead jumped ahead.
Yeah,
several years.
We're ahead 6 years now.
Yeah,
in Walking Dead, remember?
Man, well, that's really messing me up.
And then apparently they're going to do a third Walking Dead show.
But wait, if they're 6 years apart, so now basically it took 6 years for Dwight to walk to Texas from?
No, they're not.
He's
in the previous time.
Yeah, like he walked over there and then walking. I don't know. What do we have, cars?
I've never been more happy that I don't watch this show right now.
There's like an Einsteinian relativity thing where it's like they traveled ahead this time and then they were back this far.
Just go with it. Just go with it because we're getting a third series and then we're getting the Rick movies.
Yeah, there's going to be
We are all in on this.
I still think, what's her name? The mom. I think she's alive. They never actually showed her die.
Lori?
No. The mom from Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh,
Madison.
Yeah, Madison's still alive, dude.
No, she's dead.
Okay.
This is why you have the expert coming.
There goes that theory.
I mean, I remember when we were doing The Talking Dead for that, because you're right, it was sort of open.
They never showed it.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, but she's not really dead, is she? And they're like, no, she's dead.
Yeah, she's
like,
totally
dead. Oh, okay, all right.
Well, but they never showed it on screen.
That's
so
true.
They can
totally soap opera this thing and bring her back.
Well, they could, because if they never showed her on screen dying, then she never truly died. No one is ever truly dead.
You know, I've done the show before, and it's always been so much fun to talk to you guys. The last thing that I ever thought I would say to you when I came into your studio was, you guys have really nice candles.
Yeah.
You guys have some really
nice
candles.
Big D makes those.
Did you maybe notice
really?
That?
Yeah. This is a really great candle.
That's why that one looks like it's in a vase. Because
it's in a vase.
It's fantastic.
Gigantic.
But look, when you need a big candle, you go to the big guy.
If you haven't noticed, Big D... He likes you, but he's not like a total fan.
Right.
Like, I told Chris when I opened the door when he got here, I said, I want to apologize for all the fangirling that is about to happen today because I can barely talk right now.
One day I'm going to go whenever you guys are doing
makeup.
I'm going to go when you guys are doing the podcast. I want to go and just sit in.
You can do that.
I want to do that. That would be like the best trip ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's
oh, are we taking trips? Because can I get in the Talking Dead audience?
Yes, that you can.
This is where we hit you up.
You know
favors,
a guy
apparently.
Now.
Of course you can. You absolutely can come to Talking Dead.
Yeah, I hit up all my Walking Dead friends. I'm like, oh my God, Chris is coming in today.
Yeah,
and they
you
were
should.
Like,
you
ask
should.
How we get tickets.
It's fun. Yeah, it's really easy. It's really easy to get tickets. I mean, if you know me, it's easy to get tickets. Otherwise.
Otherwise, damn near impossible. As it turns out, you know me, so it's fine.
So fine.
Dude, Chris, I laughed so hard when Carson went, it's like a Thursday or Friday. I said, what are you doing for this weekend? She goes, oh, I'm hosting some panel for, what was it?
Walker Stalker Con.
Oh, you do host a panel at Walker
yeah,
Stalker.
Yeah, I get to do those. Last year I got to do Michael Rooker's panel.
Is it the Walker Stalker in Atlanta? But there's
Nashville.
One in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Atlanta, no. Like, everybody's in Atlanta, so they bring in, like, the big guns.
Yeah.
So Nashville, they kind of look at me, they're like, oh, she's here, and she's kind of a dork. Like, come on out.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it's a blast.
Yeah,
I
Rooker's
love
great.
Doing it. Yeah, they didn't even need me. Just give him a microphone, and he goes.
Yeah, he's great. Rooker sometimes is, like, trying to reel in a big bass.
Yeah.
Where you're like, where's he going? You know, you're trying to...
just hold on.
Just let him go. Yeah, you just hold on and let him go. But he's great.
For those of you who don't know who that is, we're talking about... He played Merle
in
The Walking Dead. And he was also in Guardians
Yondu.
Of the Galaxy.
Played Yondu.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that this show would be turned into... When they first came to you and said, hey, we want you to host a show that talks about a show that's just
or
came
on. Or did you go to them with that idea?
No, it was their idea. It was their idea. It was the same people who created the Andy Cohen show, because Andy's show was talking about the Real Housewives. And they said, well, could we do an after show that is about a scripted show? And I honestly just thought, like, oh, this is going to be a really niche, like, nerd thing. Because Walking Dead was revolutionary when it came on. There just wasn't anything else like it. No one had done zombies that way. And the effects were so good and it was shot so well. That it was really revolutionary for television, but I really just thought, like, oh, you know, it'll be like a couple, you know, like 50,000 nerds will watch this.
Yeah.
But that was, I was in that, I was used to that. Like, I didn't expect any more than that. I was completely happy. I would have been happy with that. But yeah, and we got made fun of a lot at the beginning, like, oh, is this a show about a show? And then, you know, and then after about a year, then everyone's tried to copy it and they're like, oh, okay. It's, you know, so it was weird. Like, why would someone watch a show?
And yet
about
it turned out Chris became our therapist for fans of The Walking Dead. I mean, you really did, because you react the way that we do, and you have these, everything is pretty genuine with you because.
Well,
you
don't watch ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch ahead because I don't ever want to spoil anything.
You don't watch it before us?
No, I mean, I watch it about 2 hours before you.
Oh, okay.
But not, I don't watch like weeks ahead.
Gotcha.
I don't know what's coming up. But there are shows like when – I don't know if you guys watched Lost, but that was a show where you needed some type of an to explain what was going on. There was so much weird stuff.
Like at the end of Game of Thrones, how they do that little –
Well, one of my friends who's in my Walking Dead group, she
was – You have a Walking Dead group?
Yeah, the ones I have the parties with for the
great.
Premieres every year.
Yes.
Chris, you'd have no idea.
No, I mean, I could show you my fondant creations. But she actually was obsessed with Lost, and she started a newsletter. For people to discuss it, because you didn't have something like
and
Talking
that was before
Dead.
Podcasts and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly, yeah. So that was her. That's actually how we met. Patrick introduced us via email.
Were the newsletters the last season of Lost? Like, I don't know, guys.
Like, what is happening
I'm
here?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a smoke monster guy? I don't know.
Yeah, she tried to break it down. It never really worked.
Yeah, but it is pretty surreal what that show became. And it's going into its 10th season, which is... It's mind-blowing.
Crazy,
I mean, unless you're like a CSI or a Law & Order, like most shows don't, you know, most shows don't last 10 seasons. But I kind of wonder, because Big Bang just ended too, and I think that was 12. And I wonder, like, what age of television we're in. Like, the handful of shows like Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Big Bang Theory, I feel like they got in just under the wire before people streamed everything. They just came in like a couple years before that.
Yeah.
And are we at a time now where there can be another show that everyone watches? And I just don't, I don't know.
I think the way that, you know, people became, it's appointment watching. And I think that appointment watching still can happen because there's an excitement about live tweeting. There's an excitement about, you know, reacting online to your friends as well. You know, I think that will never go away. There's always going to be a place for it. It's like sports. You don't want to watch it.
It's
taped.
Community.
You
you're talking about community right. too, because you want to be included in the conversation, and you need to watch something because you don't want anything spoiled. But there are very few shows where you feel that sense of urgency, like especially when you binge watch stuff,
mm-hmm.
where it's like I'm going to watch every episode in 2 days, and then 2 days later you don't remember what you watched. It's just like it just goes right through your short-term memory like a shredder.
Yeah.
And so you just don't think about it anymore, you know. So I think it's good watching week to week, you really get to, you wouldn't have a Walking Dead group if everyone just binge watched it.
Exactly.
Because it would be,
I made friends because of that show, man.
And everybody would be on different times too. Everybody would be on different episodes. And
well, it's I like Stranger Things when it comes out. Yeah. There are people who are like, I'm starting at midnight. And then others who are like, I'm going to wait till I've got Saturday off to go through all of them. And it's, you know, it's just not the community aspect of it.
What are you guys watching? Anything else you watching right now? People should be watching.
Well, I'm still getting over Game of Thrones. I'm still like I feel so abused by that I don't want to watch anything else.
But
it's like I'm going to watch documentaries.
But is there a way? I mean, I think the problem, very few shows that are like giant, enormous fan favorite shows can stick the landing on the ending. And Breaking Bad was a show that did that.
Yep.
But do you like? Is there an ending? I just wonder if expectations were just so high to like wrap something up.
I'm not a total hater. I don't have a problem with the ending of Game of Thrones. I just am sad that it's over. I feel like there was more story to tell. Like, I'm not one of these people's like, I can't believe that all the story.
So you're just mourning the loss of it.
No, yeah, it's more about that. Like, I'm not completely happy with the
prequels.
Way it went down, but it was fine.
I'm just waiting for George R. R. Martin to finish the book because I feel like there's so much that we're going to get in the next tome. I mean, this thing's going to be massive, and that's kind of what it's made me anticipate.
I mean,
more.
Yes, George R. R. Martin has made a lot of money, but at the same time, now everyone just treats him like a kid who needs to finish his homework. Yeah. I mean, it must just be miserable.
What is taking you so long?
Get finish your homework. So, why are you eating right now? Finish your homework.
Is the Nintendo on? Turn it off.
I just have to go to the bathroom. Finish it.
As a Star Wars fan, I'm very concerned about the Game of Thrones people taking the next series because I don't want it to end all. You know what I mean?
Well, my hope, what I really wanted to happen at the end of Game of Thrones, and this would never have happened because I think it would have caused an apocalypse, but I think it would have been really funny if at the end you just see, like, you know, one of them walk away from a dragon and then get on the subway and you find out it's a Westworld. the whole thing was just a Westworld. But they didn't do that. That would have explained the coffee cup, by the way.
Yeah.
That would have explained
and
the coffee
water bottles. Mm-hmm.
And the water bottle. And it is kind of funny at the end. They're just like, oh, who cares?
Yeah,
anymore.
We don't care. You guys are going to watch. It's fine.
What's your favorite conspiracy theory? Or something that you really truly believe?
Oh, God. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I don't know. There isn't a good one.
Did we go to the real moon? Or not?
Did we go what?
First of all, did we go to the moon?
Yes, of course we did.
Okay. Aliens, real or not?
I mean,
have they visited?
You know, here's what I will say. Here's what I will say from a more scientific standpoint. There's, you know, obviously we are here on this planet because, you know, asteroids brought protein strands, water.
Again, that's all theories.
Well,
hypothesis.
We know that the atmosphere of the Earth was different in the beginning in the early days of the formation of the Earth. We know that the atmosphere was mostly ammonia.
So we were terraformed.
Well,
gosh, I don't even know what that means.
It just keeps getting nerdier. It's just like, oh man, I wonder if this
interview.
Can we get
to the real question? Berenstain or Berenstain Bears?
I always thought it was Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
I did.
Apparently Chris Hardwick is from that other dimension.
I'm from the other dimension. Yeah, there's so many, like, I have a friend who's a pretty reasonable guy who's like, well, we don't know that there's not a giant hole over the Arctic Circle. I'm like, okay, let's just calm down. But again, yes, you know, you're right. There are certain things that we don't with 100% certainty know, but I think it doesn't automatically mean, it's sort of like, the process of elimination goes from, oh, I didn't actually see this thing happen, so it was aliens, you know? It's almost like, my wife loves to watch ghost shows, and they drive me crazy, but all the ghost hunters are always like, we saw this flash of light, so it must be Colonel Nathan Johnson from... You're like, why must it be that ghost? What if it was just a piece of dust reflecting light?
Or another ghost, less important.
It could have been
ghost.
Another ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey guys, I wasn't general or anything.
My name's Kenny.
Hey guys.
Ghost.
Can you send me some ghost jerky?
Ghost.
I just really want some
real
jerky.
Or not real.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a good conspiracy theory, but I'll tell you, I have the makings for a good conspiracy theory.
What's that?
Okay, here it is. So we're pretty much ruled by Instagram now. People are addicted to the endorphin rush of likes. It's an addiction. We're
your dopamine hit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Instagram has this proprietary algorithm that they won't tell anyone how it works, but they change it constantly so no one can game it. And matter of fact, now they've started crushing it down so that, you know, only 10% of the people that follow you generally even see what you post. So if one day they woke up and said, you know what, let's just be chaotic evil today, they could start prioritizing specific types of posts that would wildly influence human behavior. Like if they wanted to say, like, let's prioritize footage where people are like smashing through a store window, they just make a slight tweak, people would figure that out. They would start making those types of videos, and then everyone that would see that would go, oh my God, the world is falling apart.
Right.
I need to participate. Like, they could unravel society in a matter of days.
It's the same thing as aliens. Conspiracy theory for you. But that's already happening.
What?
That is already happening.
That's already happening.
The algorithm is controlling
But
us
was it part of the
already.
Plan?
I don't know if it was part of the plan.
Because Facebook came from LifeLog, which was a DARPA project.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's happened.
Dude, see, the day they killed LifeLog, Facebook was founded.
Yeah.
And so do you think everyone there was just like a government
puppet? Yeah, I do.
You think Zuckerberg is just like, we need to cast a nerdy kid?
Totally. Yeah.
Plus kid, that kid in the hoodie that
he and his wife
looks like Jesse
like
Eisenberg.
He's never seen a girl naked. Get him.
He and his wife both have the connections, the political and CIA and all that stuff. Yeah,
can
man. Do the research.
Can I move past this? Just
that's what's scary is that, you know what? I'll tell you what. What you're saying, do the research. So the idea of reality is so fluid now because anything that you want or need to believe, you can justify. You can go down that rabbit hole online, and algorithmically, it will deliver you more and more extreme points of view to engage you, and so you can be tricked into thinking that anything you think is 1,000. I think that's part of the reason why people are just screaming at each other all the time, like, "No, my reality is 100% true." It's like, but that's what the algorithm is feeding you to keep you engaged. So that's the tapestry of your world, and you think that means everything.
Yep.
So it's just like that conspiracy. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a conspiracy because I don't think it's a conscious. I just think it's a byproduct. There's a really interesting book called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts right now. And it makes the point that, you know, these companies aren't willfully evil, but they have to increase engagement so they can show you banner ads, basically, so they can sell you
things. So they can make money.
So they can make money. And so the things that increase engagement are, unfortunately, the worst parts of our humanity.
Right.
And so it's elevating all those things and creating this sort of false picture of the world. And do you want all of your emotions, every time you're angry and fire something off on Twitter and you think you're making a difference, is basically just commodified by a company? Do you want your emotions commodified to sell, you know, wet wipes or whatever it is that it thinks you want to buy? And it's just kind of so I don't think it's a conscious conspiracy, but there is definitely, you know, something.
I don't think anyone can control or even understand the algorithm at this point. I think it is off in its own little AI.
It's Skynet. It's Skynet. You ever see those stories where they're like, oh, yeah, we let two AIs communicate with each other and they instantly form their own language and we had to pull the plug?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
That's not scary at all.
Was that Google or was that Microsoft?
I forget who it was, but yeah, that's an absolutely true story.
Yeah.
Before Chris has to leave and we spend all our time talking about conspiracy
and walk back out into the simulation that is our world,
the Matrix.
I just want to say that as a nerd, as a kid who was the fat, chubby kid that was nerdy and loved Star Trek and everybody made
cry?
Fun of me. No, I'm not. I'm not. Gosh, you guys made so much fun of me last time Chris was on the phone because I pointed out something he said on a town hall conversation I was listening to.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I was already being a fangirl, but now I get to say this while you're here.
Can you look at him in the eyes and say it?
No.
Hold his hand.
Thank you for... I'm not holding your hand.
Okay.
That's just too much.
You don't want to touch that. Sweaty.
I want to say thank you for creating the Nerdist and for being a champion for all that. I really think that was a turning point. I think before Big Bang Theory and before all these things where it just kind of became cool to be a nerd, I think you were one of the guys that made it cool.
I appreciate that. I don't know how responsible I am for all that. I just know that when I was growing up in the 80s, the proto nerds were not treated well. And, you know, I used to be very ashamed. I used to hide my D&D stuff, and I used to hide the things that I was into, and got a lot of crap for it. And so I think when I grew up, I just always felt like I don't ever want anyone to feel that way, because it sucked. Like, it legitimately sucked. There were only a handful of us who were in the chess club, who were also in the computer club, who were also in the D&D club, who were also in debate. And yeah. It's like, and we didn't have, you know, in the 1900s, you know, we didn't have a way to connect with other people and right. form communities online. And so it was very isolating, and it sucked. But, you know, there's so many people like, you know, Will Wheaton or Felicia Day or Kevin Smith, or people who we all sort of at the same time, because of social media, were able to connect with people and sort of realize like, oh, you rather than trying to fit into everyone else's thing, if you're just the truest version of yourself, you will attract like-minded people. And I think that's all it was. We were just trying to connect with other people that like the same
stuff. But
it
also legitimized geek culture in general. I mean, you know, the internet really put everybody together and also said, hey, you're not alone out there.
Well, I think that's something you can probably speak to. I think all of us can, that even me growing up, as a girl and being obsessed with Star Wars and then moving on to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And until these communities popped up, I was like, is it normal that I know every word to every Buffy episode? Because where else
no,
do you find...
No, it's not normal.
But stop it. It's more acceptable. You know, but like, you know, I want to spend an hour debating, you know, was it Spike or was it Angel? And then finding these communities, but it sounds silly, but it's like, that's the stuff that interests you and gets you going. And it's, oh, there's more of us out there.
Yeah. I mean, the strange thing was that when they did the, it wasn't really a reboot, it was a continuation, but when Doctor Who came back with Christopher Eccleston and then David Tennant.
By the way, we needed more Eccleston seasons. I'm still mad about that. He was awesome.
He was, but I think he just didn't.
He didn't want to do it.
But when those came back, and that was right about the time that social media was starting to percolate, for a show that there was almost zero awareness of Doctor Who in this country, except for people who remember watching it on PBS, like in the 70s and 80s.
Tom Baker.
You know, whenever I would tweet about it, people would go bananas. And then that, to me, was when I realized, like, oh, there's really something special, before social media just became a shout box. But there's really something special about this thing. And all these people are just not... They're not talking about it publicly. There's no one that's really talking about it publicly in this country. And then, of course, it completely blew up when Matt Smith took over, and then it was in all the hot topics, and now everyone knows what it is. But there was a period of time, and so just the ability to connect with other people who are like, oh my God, I love that show too. I can't believe you're talking about that show. And seeing how deep people would go, because that's really what nerd culture is. It's like how... You know, it's not what you like, but it's how you like those things, like how deep you're willing to go.
And that's when you defended the reality of sports nerds. Because the original proto nerds, they didn't like the idea that sports nerds were a thing.
No, I didn't like it because I hated sports and I didn't like sports kids growing up because, you know, they made fun of me and pushed me down. And so, but then you sort of realize like, oh, okay, yeah, they're this sort of statistical, this numbers game.
Country
of the
music
sports.
Nerd.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, who goes and watches a screening of a PBS documentary so I can hear Ken Burns answer questions about how he made it.
Jerry like, Reed!
That's my level
hey kids,
of nerdiness.
What, is there a mystery going on around here?
Real?
Let me get Flash and we'll join you.
The Ken Burns mystery.
Yes. Okay, before you leave, will you do some voices for us just so it gets silly and we can get away?
Okay, what should I do? Bloopy, floop, flop, floop. Bloop, bloop, farts, farts, balls. Bloopy, bloopy, blue.
That made my whole day. I don't know the rest of you.
I like look at Big D. Big D's just like, so what just happened?
What
here?
Did I step into?
He's so disappointed in me right now for the fact that this is where it went. And I don't
I have
care.
To say, he's been very patient, though, the entire time.
Thank you.
Because really, you could sort of play the role of like the angry big brother who pushes in and is like, shut up, you freaking nerds.
Yeah.
He's Chet.
Losers.
You're Chet. Really is Chet. Chet.
He's Chet.
You're Chet. He's the best.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I've never been happier.
The five people who got that outside of this room just wrecked their cars.
Chris, before you leave, I'm going to hold you down and fart in your face.
That's what we're
How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
All right. That's enough of that. Chris Hardwick, everyone. Chris Hardwick.
Rest in peace, Bill Paxton.